Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts 16. I'd like to consider verses 30 and 31, but I want to read verses 25 through 31. Acts 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. The prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, everyone's bands were loosed, and the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for a light, sprang in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out, said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." At a time during the night when most everybody would be sleeping, middle of the night, the Scripture says that Paul and Silas, two preachers, two men that God had called by grace and power, the Lord gave them a heart to pray. Moved on their heart to pray. And they were singing praises unto God, thanking God that they were where they were, who they were in Christ. And while they were singing and praising God, praying, God sent a great earthquake. And the Scriptures said that that earthquake was so great that the very foundations of the prison were shaken. I'm talking about the foundation of that building were just disrupted, shaken. And all the doors opened up. And everybody's bands, hands, feet, neck, wherever they had them, they just fell off. Almighty God, who moved in mysterious ways that night and always, who had moved on these two men to pray, to sing praises unto Him, blessing God that though they were in a prison, they weren't bound. They were in that prison just as long as God allowed them to be in that prison. They were shackled just as long as God allowed them to be shackled. And the Lord sent that earthquake and loosed everybody. You know, carnal man thinks that he's in control. It's so ironic. You know, you watch, you know, the kings of the earth, you know. They raise up their arrogant hand and head and heart. Think themselves to be something. God laughs. We read last week, man's less than nothing. That just amazes me when I read that. If man was nothing, that'd be, you know, pretty nothing. But he's less than nothing. Almighty God moved in this place. Nahum 1:3 says, "The Lord's slow to anger, great in power, will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind, in the storm, in the clouds of the dust of His feet." The very foundation of everything that prison guard here, the one that was in charge, keeper of the prison, thought everybody was secure. God shook the very foundation. And he came in there, wakened out of his sleep, and he saw the situation. All the doors were open. He looked around and he saw prisoners there, and nobody was in shackles. And Paul and Silas that had been put in the inner prison, where they just knew there ain't no way they're getting out of here. He saw everybody else's shackles gone and just assumed those two that have been causing all the trouble are gone too. And my head's going to roll. So he drew out his sword. He was going to kill himself. And Paul, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, said, "Do thyself no harm. For we're all here." I was going over my notes this morning and I thought to myself, oh, but the prevenient grace of God. Grace before grace. Grace that God would show to just like that thief we just looked at. To this Roman, Philippian, whatever he was. It was a guard, a keeper of that prison. And God was going to show mercy to him. And Almighty God wouldn't let him die. Wasn't going to let him die before God called him out. I think back years and years and years ago, when I was growing up, here's all my brothers and sisters, and we came up in a little old town in Louisiana, and how God Almighty was pleased. As silly and as rebellious I was. I'm not going to speak for them. I'll just speak for me. Getting into some of the silliest stuff you've ever heard of in your life. But God, who is rich in mercy, who would not let me die in my rebellion, my sin, showed mercy to me. And in time, just like that keeper right here of this prison, cross paths with these two preachers. God Almighty was pleased to cause this rebel to cross paths with a preacher of the gospel. God that would put me where He did. He who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. I've told you so many times, why are you here today? Well, I just decided to go to church. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You're here by divine appointment. God Almighty put us here today. Paul said, "Don't do yourself any harm." This was an object of God's mercy. And just like the foundations of that prison were shaken, this Philippian jailer had the very foundations of his security shaken. And they were shown as nothing that Almighty God can't break. There's nothing that God Almighty can't do. That the false foundation and security, false security of every rebel, which is every man, every woman, born in Adam, every one of us, came forth from our mother's womb liars and haters on God. And it's only by the grace of God that God Almighty would move upon us in mercy and power and grant us a heart. And that Philippian jailer, when he came in there and saw what happened, brought that light in there, make sure, I'm going to make sure you guys are here. And he came in trembling. He fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out, said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, and this is what I want to talk about for just a few minutes, this statement. This is one of the statements. Everybody and their brother, just about standing in every pulpit, and I'm not talking about just pulpits where the grace of God's being preached. I'm talking about free will. I'm talking about men that are standing and lying on God are making this statement right here. This is not a phrase that you just hear in churches where God's free grace is preached, where the gospel of sovereign grace, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Everybody's saying that. Isn't that right? Now you know that's so. Everybody's saying it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, I just want to consider a couple of things here. Number one, what does that mean? Because obviously, not everybody is preaching the same thing. And I'm standing before you this morning in fear and trembling because I know this. I am responsible. I'm responsible before God, and I'm responsible for you and myself to tell you the truth. Because, brethren, we're going to die. And we're going to stand before God. Now, you think about that question. What must I do to be saved? Now, that's a question right there. That's a question. And they said, I read that again this morning. And they said, it's like neither one of them had to even think about it. They both like answered simultaneously. It wasn't one of them speaking. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." True belief. What does that mean? What is that? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I know this. I know that believing with a mental assent, acknowledgement of God's existence or power is not belief unto salvation. I know that that is merely just that. Now we've got a brain. You hear what I'm saying, and you're computing what I'm saying. You're understanding the words. You understand, you know, we're going to look at the word belief here. What does it mean? Believe. You hear the word I'm saying. I know this. I know that it's more than just to believe in the Lord's existence or even in His power. James 2:19 says, "Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Look this up, what I'm about to tell you. The word believe, that the devils believe, is the same word as believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Same word. But obviously, demons are not saved. obviously, there's something that they're doing that even a believer also does that has a common ground to it. But there's got to be something different. What is it? Tell me what it is. Don't leave me hanging. Let me show you what demons believe concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 8:28-29. When he was come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, I want you to listen to what these demons are going to say. What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? They knew who he was. Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Let me tell you what they believed. They believed that he was the Son of God. And they believed in God's sovereignty. Are you here to torment us before your time? But before our time, before the time. They believed in hell. They believed in eternal justice. And they believed in judgment. The Scripture reveals that there is a belief that is not unto salvation, because they believed that he was the Son of God. They believed that he was going to judge them. He believed that he was going to put them in the lake of fire. They knew that. They knew that. Isn't it amazing how much devils know that man by nature doesn't? Men think they're so smart. I don't believe in judgment. I don't believe in hell. There is a mental assent. But there was something that was lacking. There is, without a doubt, there is some knowledge that is involved with believing. There is some knowledge. Let me show you this. Romans 10:14. I'll read it, or you can turn there. Romans 10:14. Well, I'll read 13:14-15. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How are they going to believe in whom they've not heard? Man can hear of the existence, just like devils do, of the existence of God and believe that there is a God. Man by nature believes that there's a God. There's a conscience in every man, every woman that knows something of right and wrong. But there's something that's lacking. There is an understanding of belief. But let me tell you the difference between the belief of a devil and the belief of a believer. Both of them, Mark, have heard something. They know something. They know something. And you know that. We just read it. I've read this scripture so many times, I want to read it again. Ezekiel 36:26. Let me tell you what it's going to take. A new heart. A new heart. Also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. Let me tell you what we must have in order to believe unto salvation. I'm hearing some things right now. But let me tell you something. Until God Almighty gives me a new heart for it, I don't need the one I'm hearing about. I know that He's real because I've got a conscience that tells me something. Devils know He's real. They believe that. They believe that. I believe that chair right there hold me up. I believe it will. I believe it will. Now believe it. There is a mental acknowledgement that even the devil has, but he doesn't have a heart to commit. He has no heart of love for Christ. He has no heart that sees something of himself. My friend, you must be born again. Everybody and their brother is saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And let me tell you what they're doing. They are leaving it in the hands of men to do something what men cannot do for themselves. They're telling men, if you will do so and so, God will then. They got to be born again. God Almighty must make them willing in the day of His power. Well, I believe in 5 points of Calvinism. Demons believe in 5 points of Calvinism. You think a demon doesn't know that man is depraved? Do you think that Satan doesn't know that God has an elect? I can show you in the Scriptures. And I'm going to do it. It'll take me a second to find it. Revelation 12. Let me tell you where all false religion and what the purpose of all false religion is. This is the purpose, Jared. This is the purpose of all false religion. Revelation 12:15. And the serpent, the devil, cast out of his mouth water. This is lying, false religion. Cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, after the bride. He knows that God has an elect. He doesn't know who they are. But he knows that God has an elect, and he knows that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He knows that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. He knows that. He knows that. But who are God's elect? He doesn't know, because he's not God. But he knows this. If they don't hear the gospel, God's not going to save them. God's going to save his elect under the preaching of the gospel. Why? Because Satan's bound to be able to stop God from doing what God Almighty has purposed that he's going to do. God is all powerful and Satan's not. So here's what to do. The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. He's going after her, but he doesn't know where she is. So through all the earth, all of this false religion is being preached, and he raises up false preachers preaching lies on God and God's people that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. He's after the bride. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Satan knows that God has an elect. He knows that God has a remnant according to election. He's going after her. Satan knows that Christ died for his sheep. He knows that. Men say, well, I believe in 5 points of Calvinism. Demons believe that. Friend, I'm telling you, demons have no heart of love for Christ. no heart of commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ of those truths. It's one thing to believe them. It's another one to be committed to them. I've told people a lot of times, I believe in communism, Chuck. I believe in communism. I just have no heart for it. I'm just not committed to it, Dave. I'm not committed to it. I know I believe in it. I know it's there. Faith. Faith. And don't tell me that demons don't believe and that false religion doesn't produce false faith. You listen to this scripture. Faith. Faith. If it hath not works. Not works for salvation, but the evidence of that salvation wrought by the Spirit of God. The works of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness. Faith, if it hath not works, is dead. It's there, but it's a dead faith. It believes that I'm doing something in order to be saved. That's dead faith. God's going to have to give a heart. Take that which this mind has heard and understands. Devils have a mind that understands. They know. They believe. They believe that there is a Lord Jesus Christ. I just read a scripture that said they believe that. And they believe that He's going to judge. But they have no heart. God's got to give me a new heart. A new heart of love for Christ, willing in the day of His power. A heart that relies upon Him. This is the confidence. This is the hope that Paul the Apostle spoke of in 2 Timothy 1:12. For I know whom I have believed, trusted. And I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. What's the difference? A believer has a new heart. He's a new man. There's something that he's heard. Two people can hear the same thing. Two thieves heard the same thing. They heard the same thing. What was the difference? God gave one of them a new heart. There wasn't any difference in him and the other one but the grace of God. Both of them heard the same. Both of them railed, and all of a sudden, God changed one of them. God's people, given a new heart, are committed to Christ. They're committed to His gospel. They're committed to Him because they love Him. And they follow Him. They hear His voice spiritually. Not audibly. When the Lord said, "My sheep hear My voice," you that believe, you hear it. You hear it. You know. The voice of the Master's truth. That's His voice. Truth. Listen to Hebrews 11:8. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, what did he do? He obeyed. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. True faith. True faith. It hears. There is a mental assent. There is a mental understanding of what I'm hearing. But if God doesn't give a new heart, that mental belief is nothing more than the belief of devils. They believe the same thing. The difference is God gives a heart to love what they're hearing. Love the Christ that they're hearing about, that they're hearing. And they commit to Him. They're committed to Him. Christ, who is our life. And lastly, let me tell you the evidence of true belief. It stays. It stays. It doesn't leave. True faith endures. True belief is evidenced in that it endures. Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Does that mean he that just stays in a church? He that stays believing God, trusting God, entrusting themselves to the Lord. Brother Scott said, where the Lord puts a man, he keeps that man. That's right. Where God puts a man, he keeps him. Has the Lord eternally put his people in the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, he has. You know what he's going to do? He's going to keep them. He who is able to keep you from falling. Aren't you glad for that? Because I'm going to tell you something. I know just enough about myself. I know what I would do. If he didn't keep me, I'd leave. And you would too. There's no way in the world. Kept by the power of God. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What does that mean? That means God's going to have to give me a new heart to entrust, to commit unto Him of whom I've heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And God's going to have to give you faith to believe. Lord, have mercy on me for Christ's sake. Amen.